you lived here in the city.
Hmm?
I didn't know you lived here in the city.
The what?
I didn't know that you lived here in the city.
Yeah, me?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I do. I work on this radio station.
Yeah, but I didn't...
Yeah, no. I'm talking to Dawn Kelly, and, it's a very casual conversation. Oh, and I'm asking you, who are you? Who's Dawn Kelly? Describe yourself.
Describe myself? I'm a student at the University of Illinois at Chicago. This is my third year at the university. I'm an English major with an African and African American studies minor. Right now I'm a bit perplexed and confused about things that are going on in my life as well as the things around me. I think I'm affected quite emotionally.
What are some of the things that are disturbing you at the moment, perplexing you?
Well, I guess like myself and other young African Americans in the world today, what we sit around and we think that life is fine. We don't realize that it was just a generation ago that our parents fought for us to be in universities and restaurants and so forth, and we've all become quite comfortable. And in the last 2 years, I've seen racism and I've seen hate and I've seen jealousy, and it just disturbs me. It hurts.
Have a little more.
Basically, I guess it started about...
Oh, are you comfortable there?
Yeah.
You want to be back?
I guess it started about a year ago. I had a course, and I had a professor who made racist comments in about the first week of class. They were very subtle. And one of the books that he had us reading, it didn't set with me too well. And I took it home to my mother, who majored in history, and I asked her to look at it, and she thought it had subtle tones of racism. And I took it to some different professors, and they agreed with me, some different African-American professors.
What book?
It was called The White Man's Burden.
White Man's Burden.
And if I'm not quite sure of the author. He was European.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like some of the tones in the book. And when I tried to get some of the other students in the class to file a petition with me, a class action suit, I could not get any help. The other black students felt that I was overreacting and I was blowing things out of proportion, Dawn, you're becoming too emotional. So one person can't file a class action suit. So I dropped the course and I picked up another one. I had time. I was only in the course for 2 weeks. Towards the end of the class, many of the black students in the class received D's and E's. E's are F's at the university. Many of them received very low grades, and at that point, they came to me and they wanted to work on a petition. And I felt very hurt and I felt very disturbed that students at a college level could not even perceive or comprehend what was going on around them. They're so comfortable.
Yeah, what was... You mean the white students couldn't perceive?
No, the black students couldn't. The black students felt I was overreacting. Yeah. Dawn, you're too emotional.
What were some of the things in the book, do you recall?
Some of the things in the book, I think historical accounts. One thing that truly bothered me about the way the professor taught things was that he felt that the Europeans who had came over to Africa felt that Africans were truly animals. And I disputed the fact, saying that they couldn't have believed this because before slavery started, there was a bartering system between Europeans and Africans for years, until they wanted to monopolize, until Europeans wanted to monopolize the gold and the resources of Africa. That's when they started to enslave people, and they used that as a scapegoat by saying that they were animals. The problem I felt with that was that that was justifying what the white Europeans did, because to say somebody is an animal can justify treatment as an animal. And I did not believe that was true, because we bartered silver and natural resources and so forth, kings and queens. And they even bartered servants between themselves. And how can an animal...
Oh, what? You don't think he was saying these people who felt this way were brutal people. Isn't that what he was implying?
No, no. It took a tone that he was pacifying the whole incident, and he continued to make comments throughout the course, and I felt that he was not versed enough on the issue of race to make comments like that because he was white.
Yeah.
He was white.
How many African American students were there in the class? What percentage?
I would say it was a class of about 40 students, and there had to be about 15 to 20 African American students in the class.
Oh, half the class?
Yeah. Yeah, and the other half consisted of white students as well as Latino students.
Oh, so it was half the class.
Yes.
Was the course European history? What was the course called?
The course went from African history from the beginning of slave trade.
Oh, it had African history.
Right, to American history.
What was the teacher's name? I'm not going to use it.
I was curious.
Yeah?
I would like not to even mention his name.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm confused by whether I've heard of him at all. Yeah, I can cut this up. So, what was his response when you?
Well, after I brought in various books. I researched various books, Laurent Bennett Jr. Before the Mayflower, and some other works. I brought those in to back up what I was saying to make it valid. He told me that that book was passé, it was outdated.
Who?
The professor.
That Lerone Bennett's book was passé.
Yeah, his book was passé.
Oh, he told you that.
It was irrelevant, it was outdated.
Oh, he said irrelevant about Lerone's book?
Yeah, he told
me. Did you speak to Lerone about this guy's book?
No, I didn't. No, I haven't.
Did you spoke to any other teachers to speak about the book?
Yeah, and they've agreed with me.
What'd they say there?
Well, they didn't want me to push the issue because, as you know, it's hard to get a professor out or to bring him up on any charges of anything. And to do that, some of the professors felt that I might not graduate, I might not receive my degree if I stirred up waters. And it's sad to say that if someone is teaching you erroneously or saying racist things about you, you can't even stand up to that person.
Aside from that, some of your fellow students didn't want to pursue it.
And they made fun, they poked fun, and they made jokes. And I was pretty hurt because a couple.
Who made the jokes?
The other black students.
The other black students.
And they were friends.
Yeah.
So I thought, and I dropped the course.
What about the campus itself?
Well,
students, white students,
how to help? Well, I would say that I think the majority of people are good people in the whole world, and that's including university, white, black, of all color. I think it's always just a few people, a few bad apples that ruin it. And I think it's these same people that are provoking these crimes. I ran for an election for a student member to the Board of Trustees at the university, and I had white as well as Latino and Asian and Indian students, Palestinian students and so forth campaign for me as well as vote for me. The problem started, I would say, about 2 months ago when a fellow black student, she was walking through the dormitories at night, early in the evening, and she was grabbed by a group of white males who proceeded to grab her and say all kinds of derogatory things to her, and when she screamed, they ran away. And at this point, she will not testify. She can identify one of the men. She will not testify because she's afraid that the university will not back her as well as the guys might come back after her. She's afraid of that, so she's moved home off the dormitories. Her feelings about school, I'm sure, have to be jaded about right now. I sat down and talked with her and told her that I would go, and when she identified the people, I would go with her and other African-American female students. Told her the same thing, but each and every time I think that I might have her to go to the police station, she stands me up or she stands the police up. She's just afraid. And I know that we can't catch them without her testifying, but she's afraid, and she has every right to be, because I feel that the university has shown that its concern for its people of color is limited.
Is it really? How
it's
is
limited.
In general, how are you with other white students? How are white students and African-American students? Is there any relationship between them?
Like I said, many of my friends happen to be from various races.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now the tension is at a point where it's never been before, because we brought it to light, myself and some of the other students on campus.
Mm-hmm.
The racism and the tension, as well as the institutionalized racism. And I think that's where we feel it all stems from, because the university and the country itself does not prosecute for those crimes as harshly as it can. Therefore, it gives the students, as well as other people, the impression that they can do whatever they want to do, and they'll get away with it. It's tense right now. You can almost cut.
Really?
You can cut the tension with a knife.
But the great many African Americans and. Well, people do associate one another, don't they? I mean, they're separate now, too, aren't they, pretty much? Do you have, when you go to have lunch, do you eat at the cafeteria there?
Yeah.
Do you eat with white kids?
Yeah. I myself do.
Yeah.
I know some of the students, they don't feel comfortable, and we have a cafeteria called Inner Circle. It's a huge lounge, and you can see the Asian kids usually sitting in one corner, the black students sitting in one corner. It's all pretty segregated. You have people intermingling, but basically you can see the division between the groups.
That's it, in the lounge.
Yeah.
So, because that's the big question comes up about students, the reactions one to the other. Not what, how long have you been to university now? You've been there?
This is my third year.
So in the past 3 years or so, it's gotten worse?
It's always been there. And I think I blame myself, as well as some of the other students, for not taking a stand before now. My mother has totally come down on me and a few of my fellow friends. My friend last year, he was student trustee, and there was a black female RA in the dormitories. There was a black penis from a cadaver placed on her door with a note saying, next time it might be one of your body parts, and it was signed by the KKK. And at the time, this student was applying to occupational therapy program. She was under a lot of strain. She had found out that she was pregnant, and she was afraid for herself as well as for the baby. So she moved home, and the police did some investigating, but I think we all just left it alone. After it died out later on that spring, we all just went back to our normal life, our normal class, and we didn't make a ruckus about it. And at that time, I think I would have had so much guilt on myself if something had happened to her or her child without standing up and saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's nothing to play with. Any time somebody would do something that morbid, they're not joking. They're not joking.
Why did your mother come down on you? Why did your mother?
Well, my mother is a very strong woman. She raised myself and my brother and sister alone. She has put us all through private schools. She went to Eastern Illinois University in the 60s, and she protested.
Eastern Illinois is where now?
In Charleston, Illinois.
Charleston.
She protested quite frequently against the racism. In fact, some of the houses on campus during that time, they had the boarding houses.
Uh-huh.
And my mother and my godmother would get on the phone, and they would call these houses, and they would say, well, do you have a room? And they would say, yeah. So when they got there, they would see that my mother was black, and they'd tell her no room.
Yeah,
so my mom proceeded to protest outside the dean's office and the president's office. And I would say she got about 30 to 40 houses closed down.
Mm.
And some of them, which were still closed, I think in the early 80s. And she said she would sit out on the lawn and watch all the white kids move out, because if she couldn't live there, they couldn't either.
Yeah. So you...
She was a troublemaker.
Yeah, your mother came down because you didn't protest. Is that it? Is that why?
She came down because I didn't make a stand for my fellow sister. And she felt that we all say how black we are and how involved we are in our communities. But when it comes down to the dirt, who's willing to actually get dirty? And she felt that I was being too passive. She felt that we were not addressing the problem seriously enough because it didn't happen to one of us. It happened to somebody else. So we could kind of forget about it, which was not right. Which was...
So what about what you feel it always was there, the tension between black and white students generally?
Yeah. Generally, I would say anytime you have dormitories, it's one thing to go to school together, but to share rooms, to live right next to each other, to sleep in the same rooms. I would say most black students have encountered various races, but I would say white students, most come from the suburbs, and they've been isolated, and they have not experienced various cultures, and I think they've lost out on a lot. I would say the average white student or average white child in this country is missing out on various experiences, and that's what leads to the racism, because that's why we're pushing for the multi-pluralism, multicultural course on campus. If you would study